This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us on your preferred podcasting platform. Welcome to TPF Live, episode number 86, powered by SpoilerDiecast.com. I'm your host, Rob Tiansen, and I'm so happy you could join me on this another edition of our solo cast on TPF Live, as Nathan Solomon has the week off, as he is busy with his senior year at St. Bonaventure University, but nevertheless, he'll be back next week. But for now, you get me, the OG boss of TPF, here flying solo once again, but it's all good. It's going to be a great show here on this post-Darlington, pre-Kansas edition of this NASCAR playoffs edition of TPF Live. There's a lot to get to on this particular podcast just because we're going to look back and all the action that took place at the track Too Tough to Tame, and also look ahead to one of the finer tracks in all of stock car racing, the 1.5-mile Kansas Speedway, located just outside of Kansas City in Kansas. And of course, we have a really great and fun hot seat segment with 2021 NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series champion Ben Rhodes, driver of the number 99 Thor Sport Racing Ford F-150 entry. As of this moment, Ben is looking to make his way into the next round, round of 10, for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, because right now he is just about 3 points out of making the cut. So he is very much eager and getting ready to be on the cut, above the cut line, and not be below it, because he really feels like everything is going to be getting better and better for his number 99 team with everything that's happened in terms of personnel changes, just the level of competition, on-track aggression, and of course Ben being able to extract the speed from his Ford F-150 on these intermediates and these sort of more competitive, not so short tracks that have been sort of a difficult spot for his team. But we'll hear from Ben and let him talk about everything that's going on with his program. So I'm looking forward to letting y'all hear our interview here with Ben, and of course, race picks. We always have to talk about race picks when it comes to TPF Live through Podium Perspectives. So before we get to all of that, why don't we hear from our sponsor, SpoilerDiecast.com. Hey racing fans, are you in the hunt for the latest diecast cars from Lionel Racing, or F1, or IndyCar diecasts? Well, look no further. If you head to SpoilerDiecast.com, you'll find all of the latest and greatest diecast cars and get free shipping and 5% off of your orders if you use promo code TPF by spending $20 or more on your items. Head over to SpoilerDiecast.com and let Evan and his team know that you want the best diecast cars around. And if you use promo code TPF, you'll be in the winner's circle. It doesn't get better than that. So just head on over to SpoilerDiecast.com and make your latest purchases today. So yes, indeed, folks. Use that promo code TPF to get free shipping and 5% off any orders that are above $20. And whether it's in stock or pre-order, Evan and his team will make sure you get the good discount and you get your goods within 4 to 5 business days for in-stock items. And of course, if it's pre-order, make sure it counts, because if you do, you're making sure that that particular diecast car gets produced by Lionel Racing, and you're not going to get disappointed 6 or 8 months down the road. So get to it, folks. Save some money, save some headaches, and save those cars, or get them cars, as we like to say, get them cars right now. So let's head on over to Podium Perspectives, powered by SpoilerDiecast.com. Now, last Sunday night's Cookout Southern 500 was a really exciting event in terms of the playoff drivers, of course, because the round of 16, we have a pretty huge field for those trying to make it to the round of 12 versus those who may be digging out of a hole because of what happened at Darlington. What we do know for a fact, though, is early on, Denny Hamlin looked like the man to beat because he swept stages 1 and 2. Kevin Harvick was on his way up to the front, so was Kyle Larson. William Byron was pretty much his steady competitive self. And then stage three happened with all the craziness. Not to mention in stage two, we had the light situation over in turns three and four that resulted in a brief red flag that halted the action for a bit. But there was no shortage of action on the 1.366 mile egg-shaped oval in South Carolina. When it mattered, of course, here's the craziness that ensued. Denny Hamlin, he thought he had a loose wheel. That evidently wasn't the case. And he lost track position and essentially handed the lead over to Kevin Harvick, who looked like he was going to go ahead and win the race. And then he decides to pit, but it's not really like he was deciding to pit and get messed up by a caution. But as he was going down pit road to go for his last pit stop, Tyler Reddick was in the lead when Ryan Newman on fresher tires was trying to pass through him. Unfortunately, those two tangled. Ryan Newman spun in turn four, and that brought out the caution that greatly impacted the rest of the race. Because on the final pit stops within the last 55 laps, the number five team of Kyle Larson delivered a really clutch pit stop that put the number five car in the lead, and essentially from there, it was all in Kyle Larson's hands to avoid the fate that he had experienced in 2021, which was being in the front of the field but not being able to close the deal. Well, despite his encounters with the wall and how his car wasn't quite the same after those encounters with the wall, and at one point his car being stuck in neutral, you know, everything worked out. With the solid leadership of Cliff Daniels and spotter Tyler Mon guiding Larson through traffic and just basically letting him know, like, hey, just keep up with what you're doing, just avoid the trouble, let's just try to do what we can. And they did what they had to do to win their third race of the season. And finally, Larson is a Darlington Raceway winner. So as a result, he gets to be in the round of 12. But he's also 1 point behind points leader William Byron. But at this moment, I think for the number five team, you don't let your foot off the gas pedal. I mean, you got your third victory of the season, fourth overall if you think about the All-Star race win, which is not a points race, but the number five team will consider that part of their victory total for 2023. At this juncture, you might as well go and try to win Kansas and try to win Bristol, because you can get yourself 10 bonus points, playoff points, that can really bump up your standings and make the gap between yourself and William Byron and Martin Truex Jr. just a bit smaller than how it started in the round of 16. And the one factoid to consider too is that Larson started all the way back in 18th place, which in any era of stock car, that's impressive to come from about midfield and march your way to the front of the field. So kudos to the number five team, Kyle Larson, Cliff Daniels, and all of the members of the Over the Wall and those who serve behind the wall and make this happen for the number five team. So that's one of the moments that stood out to me. And the other one that stood out to me also was the fact that we saw some non-playoff drivers having great runs. I mean, Harrison Burton, up until he wrecked in one of those final cautions, he was doing pretty solidly in the number 21 car. But to me, I was really impressed with Erik Jones, who started 20th. Yes, I know he would rather have defended his Southern 500 victory, but he got a top 10 finish, and he held his own against those playoff drivers, which, let's face it, folks, when we get to the postseason, there's not a lot of focus on the drivers and teams who didn't make the playoffs. But it was good to see the number 43 car having a great run on pure merit, pure pace, and a driver and pit crew who is doing the best they can to make something good out of this difficult season for the Legacy Motor Club team. So those are some of the stories that stood out to me. And also too, I think we have to pay attention to pit road mistakes and certainly drivers who we get the understanding. I get the understanding of drivers wanting to pit if they feel something's a little bit off with their car. But at the same time, that was critically tough on Hamlin, but he's got the playoff points. It's not like a situation where he may miss the cut for now, but you never know what could happen at Kansas. It's always a wild race, and we saw the duel that happened earlier this year between Larson and Hamlin, so anything's possible, to say the least. in these next two races of the opening round of this year's postseason chase. Speaking of Denny Hamlin, of course, he signed a multi-year contract and extended his stay over at Joe Gibbs Racing, which also mentioned, not to mention, of course, that 2311 is going to remain with Toyota, of course. All of this was announced in Denny Hamlin's Actions Detrimental podcast, and certainly, I think this allows him to focus a little bit more. The press is not going to bombard him with questions about, hey, are you coming back? What's going to happen with you? And it certainly extinguishes any kind of rumors about 2311 switching from Toyota to Ford. Was that really ever a thing? No. That's like saying Hendrick Motorsports is going to switch from Chevrolet to Toyota. And that's not going to happen as long as Mr. H wants Chevrolet's support and, you know, all that synergy that goes on with that organization. The same can be said about Joe Gibbs Racing and 2311 staying with the Toyota brigade. And they have a good pipeline, you know, given the fact that Denny could race well into his late 40s, certainly is something to think about. But you also have to consider, too, that Joe Gibbs Racing retains its most experienced, longest tenured race car driver, I would say, since the days of Tony Stewart, when he drove from 1999 to 2008. So Denny's been with this organization actually longer than Tony, having raced with them on the Cup side since 2005. So they have found themselves a Jeff Gordon type figure that can close out his career with the same team, and hopefully he can certainly be competitive and pursue victories as he's been doing since 2006. The man is a really consistent driver, one of the best around, and it'll be exciting to see what he'll do with the number 11 team with crew chief Chris Gabehart and continue to add to that legacy and see if there's any teammate changes in the future too, just because, you know, TRD and Joe Gibbs Racing certainly has a great crop of young drivers who are ready to climb up the stock car ladder. So in the meantime, 2311 sticking around with Toyota, Denny Hamlin not going anywhere. So you folks that, you know, were waiting on this, don't worry. This was not Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers drama. This was settled, I would say, rather quickly. And I'm sure Denny's glad to just think about racing and not have to answer questions from the press. Now, speaking of Harrison Burton, who I mentioned as far as someone who stood out to me at Darlington up until his accident, it's been reported by The Athletic's Jordan Bianchi that Harrison Burton will return to the number 21 Wood Brothers Racing Ford Mustang entry. Now, I know some folks are thinking, does this make sense? Why would you keep him around? But let's face it, you know, the next-gen car is really a great equalizer. It's closed the gap on the competition. And as a result, I think it's made trying to learn the Cup cars a little bit more difficult than climbing up from the Truck Series to the Xfinity Series, which kind of resemble a little bit of, you know, graduating from the ARCA vehicles to what the Cup Series was once like before we got to the next-gen cars. Now, Chase Briscoe mentioned this on Reddit NASCAR, like, hey, I would say the competition's a lot closer. You really can't compare someone's statistics with a next-gen car versus the Gen 6 car. And that's very fair, because with the Gen 6 car, I mean, that was the last, I guess you could say, the last sort of unique, genuine stock car before you proceeded to the next-gen car, which I don't want to call it a spec series, but let's face it, there's parts that are now manufactured, and the teams don't have as much creativity with the stock cars today versus the ones that we saw as recently as 2021. I think we have to give Harrison another season, and if he still struggles with it, then maybe it's time to kind of consider another direction for this organization. But you have to have a little bit of consistency, and as Nathan has mentioned throughout the season, the Ford camp hasn't exactly been the best OEM. That's no fault. It's not because they're not putting in the effort, but they haven't had quite the raw pace and speed that we've seen out of the Chevrolet camp as well as the Toyota team. So I think Burton doing another year could be good. And let's, you know, remember his father, Jeff Burton, didn't have the greatest campaigns in 1994 and 1995. But when he got to his third Cup season, man, things were going pretty good for Jeff Burton, and eventually became one of the more steady, competitive, reliable drivers to go for victories and even contended for championships in the late 90s to the early 2000s until he went to Richard Childress Racing and found another chapter of success in life before we got him in the booth with NBC. So I think Harrison still has some potential. And I think if the four teams can find some speed, if there might be a change with the nose of the car, who knows? I'm not trying to be funny when I said that, but I think that the Ford camp would love to be a lot better than they have been this season, and I'm sure that all of them over at Ford Performance is going to do the best they can so that Team Penske, the Wood Brothers, are just as fast as RFK Racing, because it's been quite the year for that camp, not so much for everyone else who has the Ford banner like Stuart Haas Racing and Wood Brothers Racing as well as Team Penske. And now I would say it's time to head over to Winning Time, which is, of course, powered by SpoilerDiecast.com. So this is the time for me to provide my pick, or picks, rather, for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race, the Kansas Lottery 300, at Kansas Speedway. The defending race winner is John Hunter Nemechek, who is not entered, of course, because he is fully focused on pursuing his first NASCAR Xfinity Series championship. Then, of course, on Saturday, we have the NASCAR Xfinity Series regular season finale, the Kansas Lottery 300, also Kansas Speedway, of course. Noah Gregson is the defending race winner. However, he's still serving his suspension with NASCAR and, of course, doesn't compete in the Xfinity Series. So, for sure, like the Truck Series race, we'll have a different winner for that. And then on Sunday, of course, it's the second leg of the Round of 16, the NASCAR Cup Series Hollywood Casino 400, with defending race winner Bubba Wallace. And I'm sure Bubba would love to go and repeat that victory to ensure that he's got a spot in the round of 12, which, in my opinion, is probably the most wildest and craziest round of all the playoffs. So, as far as truck race picks are concerned, I would say we still have to pay attention to the likes of Zane Smith, a previous Kansas race winner. He's my top pick for sure. And as far as a backup pick, why not Grant Enfinger going for the season sweep? I mean, GMS Racing might be closing its doors by the end of the season, but it doesn't mean that they're just going to go and coast their way to the memories of people and racing fans and historians out there. They're going to go out swinging for the fences. And in this case, I think if Zane Smith doesn't capitalize on Friday night, you got to look no further than Grant Enfinger to get his third victory of the season. And honestly, this man looks like, to me, the championship pick in the Truck Series. As far as Xfinity Series race is concerned for Saturday afternoon, you know, we've seen, of course, the Cup drivers spoiling the parade of those going for the Xfinity Series championship, but we don't have to worry about that anymore. It's all full-time Xfinity drivers from here on out. And essentially, we have 10 drivers who are locked in. A few just have to go and start their car to get into this year's playoffs. But as far as the race at Kansas is concerned, I think you have to look at somebody like the Josh Berry number 18, because Josh is still pursuing his first victory of the Xfinity Series season. I think that while he is going to be heading over to Cup next year, he would be a really good pick to go and win on Saturday afternoon. And my dark horse for that would probably have to be, you know, someone like Daniel Hemric, who will be driving the number 10 car. That's right, folks. Not number 11, the number 10 entry for College Racing, which we know fans have been calling it the trophy hunting car. Well, Daniel Hemric will be going trophy hunting for the foreseeable future for this season in that number 10 car. I think he could have a chance to go and get his first victory since that win at Phoenix that got him the championship in dramatic fashion over Austin Cindric. And then heading over to Sunday's race, the Hollywood Casino 400, you know, why not go with Kyle Larson again? I mean, the guy is so close to winning at that racetrack. They just have to figure out a way to get that car balanced and not get too loose for him towards the end of the race. Or if Kyle can adapt to a loose race car and learn from what cost him the win in the spring races of last year and this year, I think he can go and get his fourth victory of the season and fifth, counting the All-Star race of 2023. Getting more playoff points and making life a little bit harder for those who are trying to get to the round of 12. If he doesn't get the job done, I'm sticking with the Hendrick campus and saying that the number 24, William Byron, will be just as solid as a number five team, because he was also one of the best cars in the spring, and I don't see that changing much on Sunday afternoon. But what do you think of my picks, folks? Tweet to me, or send me an X message, or tweet, whatever it's called these days, at Rob T. Youngson. Same handle on Threads, same handle on Instagram, same handle pretty much anywhere in social media. And of course, at The Podium Finish on all across the major social media platforms. If you happen to make the correct race-winning picks, I will personally send you a 164 in-stock 2023 item, or stock car, or IndyCar, from SpoilerDiecast.com. Pretty simple how that works. There's no complicated IG, contest rules. Just give me picks. If they happen to be all the winning picks, then you get yourself a diecast car. Pretty cool, I would say. It's now time to head on over to In the Hot Seat. Welcome back to another edition of the Podium Finishes Live's Hot Seat segment. Rob T. Youngson here, and on this edition, we have 2021 NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series racer Ben Rhodes, driver of the number 99 Thor Sport Racing Ford F-150 entry. And it's a busy time for Ben, because just on Friday night, we're going to figure out who makes the round of 10. And Ben, I know you've been here before on many occasions. Before we get started, how are you doing, and how are you feeling ahead of the race on Friday night in Kansas?
Yeah, feeling good. This is nothing we haven't been in before. Right now, our playoff picture, I think I'm three below the cut line, and I say I think because I really haven't looked at it all that much. I'm pretty much just focusing on what we can control, which is trying to build a fast Ford F-150 and show up and, do everything right. That's obviously easier said than done, but we have been in this situation before. We've faced it every year, and I think that's one of the things that makes us a strong contender every time we show up at Phoenix, is that for each round, we always have to race one of the races like Phoenix. And for right now, that's Kansas. We're going into Kansas racing just like it's for the championship, because it could be, right? Like, we could maybe get in on a point here at Kansas, and then we go on to win the championship. That happened for me in 2021. I'm not going to say it can't happen again. I hope it does. But, I would like the race to go in our favor where we don't have to worry about points. But that's not going to be the case. I'm racing against some really fast guys.
But you're up for the challenge, and you've been there before. And Kansas is certainly a great opportunity for you, knowing that you are typically hovering inside that top 10. You have been in contention to win, and you certainly know your way around this place. So, like you said, nothing new, and you know what it's like to be under the pressure. So now you're earning your paycheck for sure, as we say out there in the workforce world.
Yeah. Kansas is the track that I feel like it owes us one. There's like two races. 2016, I was trying to pass Johnny Sauter for the lead, and we wrecked on the last lap in turns 3 and 4. And then in 2017, I was leading over Kyle Busch, and we had a bolt go through the radiator. And, two or three laps to go. And then earlier this year, we had what I would call arguably the fastest truck. We got to the lead early in the race, and the caution comes out before the stage. We short pit, so that way we can try to get back to the front to get stage points and then have the lead when everything cycles. And we got caught up in a wreck. Basically, Kyle Busch hit the wall in front of me and slowed his truck down so fast when it happened. I run into the back of him, knocks a hole in the nose, and that was it. So, Kansas has been up and down, but our performances have been strong. So, if I had to pick a cutoff race for us, this would be the cutoff race. I wouldn't have it any other way, And that does mean a lot when you feel like you've got your back up against the wall, knowing that you're going to a place that you should have speed or you feel like you've had success in the past. That makes a big difference.
I'm sure it does, and You've shown okay all year long. I mean, you guys have gotten fast trucks, even with the OEM switch going back to Ford. It's it's been pretty seamless. And another thing that's been changed since when we last spoke in 2021, you have a new crew chief. Well, not new anymore, but at the time, he was your new crew chief this summer in Brian Ross. And I've been kind of curious how you and Brian are working together so that at Kansas and hopefully in the round of 10,
you're strengthening the number 99 team's efforts. What's it been like to work with him and kind of see how things are meshing along together?
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing, right? As when we last spoke, I had a new crew chief for the season, which was Rich Lucius in 2021. That's when we won the championship. I had him in 2022. Then to start out this year of 2023, I had Jared Prince. Well, as soon as we won our race at Charlotte, Jared Prince was taken off my team and went over to Matt Crafton. So Matt Crafton has been with him since then. And Brian Ross, which was my engineer at the time, was elevated to become my crew chief. So I've only had a select number of races now with Brian as my crew chief, right? So basically the back half of May, but you know, that's what, five races now total that he has under his belt as the crew chief, six races. So we're meshing, we're gelling. I've worked with Brian for a long time, actually. It's just not in the position he's currently in. He's worked with me in my position, right? I've just been the driver, and he's worked with a couple other drivers, which I think is ultimately good for crew chiefs and engineers to work with other people. But this is his first time as crew chief and doing it in the playoffs, right? So he's done quite well so far. He had me a couple of really fast trucks early on at Mid-Ohio and in Richmond. Right now, though, the last two races, we kind of hit a little bit of a lull. We know that the short tracks have kind of been difficult for us, right? Like, you know, we went to Milwaukee. We weren't running the best. We went to IRP, not running the best. The short tracks have been kind of a pain point for us. So I'm glad to be past that. I would say Brian's strong suits are big picture between aerodynamics and mechanical. So that would be mile and a half. That's Kansas. That's where we're going. So I think this is a track that plays into his strong suits. And then me as a driver, I don't know what I am. I'm just going to try to drive this thing and go fast. So I got confidence, though, in Brian for this race, which is good.
Sounds like it's going to be Hail Mary racing, but again, that's what you guys learned in the short tracks, racing in those Bandolero Legend cars and late models is the pressure cooker time. We're now at it, so knowing that if you can make it to the next round, I mean, you guys are going to love these next tracks. You've got Talladega, Bristol, Homestead. I mean, I would say maybe not so much Talladega, but I would call this a driver's delight, wouldn't you say?
I actually don't miss, I mean, like, I don't mind racing with Talladega in the playoffs. I kind of really enjoy it, actually. It's a wild card, and it seems to rattle others more so than us. I don't know why that is, maybe just because of the fact, like, mentally, I just enjoy it. But I can tell you, it wouldn't be the same if we don't advance past this round. Like, I thrive in this time of the year. I like feeling the pressure. I like the extra intensity that comes along with it. I like the feeling of going to the racetrack and you know, the idea that your season kind of rides on a moment. Like, I enjoy that. And Talladega is like the supreme type of feeling that you get with that, because there's so much you can't control with Talladega, and things happen so quickly, and a decision you made five laps ago puts you on the bottom or the top and puts you with a certain person you may or may not want to be drafting around. And those split-second decisions all add up. They're like dominoes. And, you know, before you know it, five laps later, you're in a wreck because you decided to stay low instead of making the move to go high. You know, so that's fun. I like that. But if for some reason we couldn't make it past Kansas, it just wouldn't be the same, right? Like, Talladega would lose its luster to me.
Let's hope that's not the case, because I'm sure the fans want to see you make it into the next round in the championship four. And I don't need to say anything further, because at Phoenix 2 years ago, you delivered one of the best post-championship speeches, and I think people want to see an encore of that, I would imagine. So hopefully when, you know, we catch up later down in the playoffs, we're talking about you going forward at Phoenix and not you.
I hope so.
Not going for pride. Yeah, I know. I mean, this, like you said, this is pressure cooker. This is the time that you wake up and you want to do. So I imagine you're ready for the challenge. And you kind of touched upon this, because then a couple years ago, it seems like NASCAR had a standard template of schedules and tracks. But in the last year or two, I'd say we have tried to go to different markets, and it's been interesting to see, you know, trucks at COTA and F1 track, primarily speaking. You know, your guys are back at IRP racing at Milwaukee Mile. What do you think about this variety in the truck schedule, knowing that you're going to tracks that, you know, you probably haven't been to until this year.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. You know, I'm glad they're putting so much emphasis on changing up the schedule and just, you know, mixing it up and not running tracks. So, you know, all the feedback that prior to this all happening was that we were all going to so many mile and a half and that all the tracks are the same. The word was cookie cutter and, you know, you're watching the same thing each week because it just, that feedback propelled NASCAR along this path of let's go to new markets. Let's try it. Change it up. Who cares if, you know, it's, we have a bad race here or there because we tried something new. Let's just go places and people are enjoying it. And I can't say that there has been a bad race from them taking the risk, right? Like they've gone to all kinds of different tracks and I can't say that any one of them was bad. They were all unique. They all put on great shows and I think the fans appreciated that and liked it. You know, I'm speaking for them when I say that, but I can tell you as a driver, we liked it. I like going to the Bristol Dirt Race. I like going to Mid-Ohio this year. I think everybody really enjoyed going to North Wilkesboro and Milwaukee and IRP and these tracks that maybe haven't seen action in a long time that we're getting the return at. It's special. It creates a new, like, level of excitement, right, and interest.
And that's what people want to see is excitement and interest. And, you know, I can tell you seeing NASCAR in Austin was – It was so kismet because I live in Austin these days, and it's so nice not to have to go out of state. I can just go to my local road course, and bam, you guys are racing on Saturday afternoon to lead the NASCAR race weekend here in the capital, Texas. So I can tell you from a journalist standpoint, and even just as a racing observer, I love it. And I hope we keep taking on these new venues just because it's what helps grow the sport along with trying to diversify the sport on the talent side, and getting good personalities like you out there too. So, it's good to see NASCAR in this particular state. And knowing it's the 75th anniversary, I mean, I've been asking drivers about this all season long, and I'm curious to get your thoughts about what it means to you to be racing in this special anniversary season for NASCAR.
Yeah, pretty cool, right? Like, it's funny, to start the year off, they were asking me something similar, and they were talking about all the history, and they got, you know, the King and all these like NASCAR legends, these greats, they all got their feedback and they told all these cool stories and I got to listen to that. And I don't know, man, it's a big picture type of thing. You know, I think every day we just kind of approach it as, you know, head down, we're in the trenches, we're fighting, we're in the playoffs, bang, 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 let's go. But, you know, when you kind of step back and say, wait a minute, we're kind of taking a part of history here. 75 years this has been going on. We're racing in the 75th season. I don't know, it's neat, right? Like, I don't think there's words I can use to describe it, but it's fun to know that you're a part of all of this, and you want to make, like, when you know you're a part of something big like that, you want to make your splash. So, winning the championship this year, I think, would be that much more special. You know, if they were ever to pull up highlights of, let's say, the 100th anniversary, 25, 50, 75 years, hopefully your name would get drawn, right, and pulled up. So, I think that's one of the things that drives us competitors is, you know, the recognition that we were able to go out and do what we love and then find success at it. And I don't know, 75 years is pretty cool.
It certainly is. And I mean, I'm just thinking about, like, if you open a book in 2048, which is a scary thought for me at this point, you'd still be much younger than me. But like you said, if you can get a championship in a milestone season, that's something that people are going to say, hey, you know, do you remember Ben Rhodes in 2023 when NASCAR turned 75 and how he was able to come back and win a championship? So that'd be quite a thrill for sure, just knowing you're part of this championship focus along with the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series. And I think people are never going to forget 2021. And I certainly haven't, because I thought that was one of the most amazing moments I've seen in the Truck Series history. I think it was 26 years of the Truck Series at that point. You know, how much has your life changed since being a truck champion and have not just knowing what it takes to win it all, but knowing people will approach you and say, hey, you're Ben Rhodes, you won the championship before.
Yeah, that's fun, right? Well, what led up to all that was just the way that we won the race. Like, we were so up and down during the race. We led a whole bunch of laps early on, and then all out of nowhere in the third stage, we basically led when I say led laps, we led laps over the other playoff contenders, the other championship contenders. So I think I was second or third, but I was ahead of everybody else for the first two stages. Well, finally, the third stage rolls around, and I lose two spots right off the bat to the playoff, or the championship contenders, which was Todd Gilland, I believe, and then for sure Zane Smith. And before I know it, they're gone, like checked out, gone. So 60-lap run, here we go. I passed Todd Gilland back, but eventually, I mean, I'm like fighting for my life to get back to Zane. We finally get back to him. I nudge him up the track, and we take off, and we win the thing. But the highs from the emotions of that happening, like leading the whole race, and then your hopes just disappeared. All of a sudden, we got the speed. They're falling off. Here we go. We won it. Oh, man. It's a crazy feeling, and you don't know that you're feeling that way while you're driving the truck, or at least you try not to pay attention to it. But then once it all settles, you really, really can like lean into your emotions and just enjoy the situation and the lifetime that it took to get to this point. So I can tell you what, I didn't get in trouble for giving a drunken press conference. Not that it was on purpose by any means, because it wasn't. It just, I was happy. Well, I didn't get in trouble, so I can tell you round two would be just as big, if not bigger, because I got all kinds of support, actually. Nobody was mad at me.
It was one of the most genuine celebrations, I will say, in all of motorsports history. And I've been around a little bit longer than you have in life, but I will always – I forget if it was like trials and tribulations that you said or beer tribulations, and I was like, man – it doesn't matter who else wins this weekend. Nobody's in the top of Ben just did it, Phoenix. So I would be very curious what would happen in a couple of months' time if you were to be in that position. So the journalist in me is just so curious to see that unfold. So let's hope it does. I don't even know what your encore would be, man. That would be that'd be quite a sight to behold in. So
I can tell you what, we weren't prepared at all for what the celebration would entail, right? So we were given these massive champagne bottles on stage. And I mean, like, they're, I don't know, if a normal bottle 750 milliliters, this had to be like 1.5, 1.5 liters. I mean, it's massive. So like, I sprayed probably a quarter of it or a third of it. I drank probably a third of it. And then I took the other bit and I filled up my shoe. And I gave it to my crew chief to do a shoey. And, I empty stomach, no fluids, dehydrated. That, like, third of that bottle of champagne, plus, like, four or five beers that the fans gave me out at the barn, oh, man, it just did me in. So there was no planning at all. So I can tell you now, I know what to expect. I'm going to live it up if we can get to that, you know, that point. But Kansas first. I got to get past this weekend, and it's a daunting task.
But you are up to it. I mean, it would be like being in a baseball team that is in a 3-3, you know, tie. Game 7's coming up on Friday night, and it's on Fox. So it's no different, man. I mean, I'm not trying to make it sound so easy, but I guess for layman folks out there who are probably tuning in the FS1 or Fox and catching what you guys do, that's what I would imagine this compares to. And to get the Phoenix would be like winning the World Series after being down 0-4 or something like that. So, oh, man. A lot of pressure, which I don't envy you being in, but I know you've known what it takes to get there for sure. Let's take things a little bit off track so you're not too stressed about Friday night, because I don't want to get you freaked out about Friday night. Let's talk about your passion projects. I mean, I understand, I knew we didn't talk about this 2 years ago, which I don't know why, but I understand you like to work on car restoration projects, which makes me think you should have a show on Motor Trend. What would be your favorite car restoration project so far in your life?
So it's funny, right? Like, when I was kind of talking about that, I was working on a 1971 Volkswagen Beetle, which we were putting custom air ride on it. When I say we, it was really just me. I was putting custom air ride on it. And I was having a lot of fun, but I got to a point where a lot of stuff changed in life. I had a baby and we, moved, into a different house, and we had all these different projects going on. I just couldn't get the time to work on it. So I sold the thing about three quarters of the way done. And now, I haven't worked on a car since. But I'll tell you what, right now, my wife and I bought some land up in the Kentucky area, where I live now, and we've been kind of working on, like, almost like farmers. I got a Kubota tractor here, and we've been bush hogging the land and putting in a driveway and trenching and running electric and doing different stuff. We would like to build a house here soon for our growing family. We've got one child here and one on the way, and we're just kind of doing life, I guess, right? So we're just kind of going along, and that kind of puts your passion projects of restoration vehicles and stuff to the side. So I have not touched a old car to work on since I sold that Beetle.
Well, at least you have a good reason for that, and you're a family man. That's not even just a badge of honor. That's probably one of the best things you could ever be in life, to be a father, raising your kids with your wife, and having that land in Kentucky where, you know, when you're trying to decompress from this busyness of NASCAR, you can just escape to your house with your family and feel refreshed, because I know as the years go on, there's a lot of pressure with this sport. So to just go home and look forward to coming to a nice house or just the land in general. I mean, I'm just imagining.
The land's the big thing, right? Like, you got to have a place to go and kind of escape. You know, it's nice to get out, see some nature and stuff. And the land's been vacant forever, so we just come out here and look at the animals for now. but one day, I don't know, however many years, year, two, five, I don't know, we'd like to eventually live here. But for now, we come out here and just spend some time and piddle around and enjoy the animals and, yeah, go from there. It'd be cool to have some cows one day. That's like another thing I've wanted to do, is have my own cows.
Oh my goodness. Get some from Texas. We've got plenty of longhorns over here, man. Like, I just have to go 5 minutes from my house, walking wise, and I see a bunch of cows, which for someone like me from the city, that's not common to come across.
Maybe your listeners can let me know then. I looked at longhorns because I mean, again, I'm a way off from doing this, but, I was told they're not very good cattle to eat. So my thing is I wanted to get a couple cows to be able to eat and harvest for, like, my family. So, like, myself, my extended family, parents, we would all kind of share. Like, we'll go out, instead of buying meat at a supermarket, we'll go out and buy, like, a quarter or a whole cow, and we'll split it amongst each other. So I was like, well, you know, we've got land. We might as well do that. And then we can name them. And then my wife's like, well, once you name them, you're not going to want to eat them. And I'm like, well, see about that. So, well, I don't know. If anybody, if your listeners know what's, like, the best, you know, breed of cattle, cows to eat, I mean, I know the obvious ones, but maybe drop a comment and let us know.
I will definitely let you know. I'll let Len know so she can pass the word to you, or you want to talk about it off the record, we'll do that too, because I'm sure a lot of TPS Nation actually is a lot more rural than us two, or knows about cows better than I do. All I know is steak and, yeah, good steak. New York strip for sure, and medium rare. Don't get me hungry, dude. It's only, well, the time we're talking, it's only midday here in Texas. I'm like, man, now I want some prime rib too. Good Lord. Oh, well, maybe that'll be your Friday night treat in Kansas, because that is obviously a good place to have steaks too. So just putting it out there, you know, man, you know, trying to make sure.
That's my every race day treat, actually, is a steak. So Justin Lofton, as you guys know, used to race in the Truck Series. He owns a farm now called All Beef. So if you go in online, you type in AH Beef, like All Beef, they actually ship out boxes of, you know, steak and ground beef and roasts and, you know, bones and whatever you guys can imagine. They've got it. So he sends me a box, and we have steak before each race. He's been awesome.
I gotta look that up, actually. That sounds kind of good. So
very good.
Maybe they can be a sponsor of TPS Live. We would proudly do those little, you know, things and say, this is Hot Seat presented by Ah Beef with Ben Rhodes.
There we go.
See, you're just helping me out. I like this. Why can't your other peers do this? And no, I'm kidding. I'm not ragging on them. But yeah, we'll definitely have to check that Ah Beef out, because, oh man, that looks good. But that's not why we're talking, but that sounds good. Oh, man, Justin, I remember Justin, he's obviously a talented race car driver in the teams. He's diversified his business quite well, so good stuff for sure. Actually, before we get to your last question, you talked about having a steak for treats before, you know, on, during the race weekend. What would be your favorite cut, and how do you like it cooked?
Favorite cut? Oh, gosh. You know, he sent me so many different cuts here lately. The last one I had was a Delmonico from him, and that was fantastic. I'm a ribeye guy. If I go to a restaurant, I get a ribeye, and I just get it medium. So I feel like that's a good safe bet, because if they undercook it, I'll still eat it. If they overcook it, I'll still eat it. But if you ask for, like, something more on one of the ends of the spectrum, then there's a good chance they don't cook your steak, right? So I go medium ribeyes at almost all restaurants. But I had a Delmonico from All Beef, man. That was really good.
Yeah, that's a really good cut for sure. And, yeah, you don't want to get the extreme end of, you know, when they say medium rare. You don't want to be too rare, because you're going to be regretting that in the driver's seat. And if it's too cooked, then, yeah, that's not as awesome. So I think it's a good choice.
Right.
New York strips are the best, but I'll never say no to Delmonico. That's now I'm going to have to look for that at my supermarket after the interview, so here you go. Well, before we wrap things up, my friend, this is a lot of fun, by the way. I know you don't have a lot of time to work on cars, but I imagine, like your other peers at the racetrack, you have a joy of aviation. And I'm just kind of curious, what inspired you to take up flying as a hobby?
I don't know. I guess I saw some parallels to racing, and I just like unique experiences. I like the fact that you're doing something with the machine, man and machine against, you know, nature. It's kind of like racing in a sense. Like you're trying to get the best time, and you're wrestling a machine around the track. Similar feeling, I guess, trying to wrestle the machine up into the air. I really enjoyed it, though. I'd say I was influenced most by a crew chief of mine back when I raced Legend Cars. He was taking some flight lessons and really piqued my curiosity. I got like an Explorer flight through a silent auction, which I didn't even bid on. I didn't know it was in the basket, and it was there. So I went and took the exploration flight, and then I was just absolutely hooked. So I went and got my license, and I figured, you know, I could fly to races and do all this cool stuff, which I haven't flown to races. But I got my license nonetheless.
Well, there you go. I mean, I've always been curious about that, because it's just the fact, like you said, man with machine working in unison to do these things that, you know, I fly commercial. So it's just like, get me to my destination safely and hopefully on time, but to be the one in control of that machine to get you to your destination, or just to, you know, fly around in general. That's a exhilarating feeling, to say the least, which, given your experience as a race car driver, I guess you just never get enough adrenaline, so it's good to have that on the back burner for sure. And I would be remiss if I don't say, hey, man, advance congrats, you know, with your growing family. That's super awesome, and certainly look forward to seeing the good news and seeing you raise another little baby Rhodes down the road. So I'm excited for you, man, and I know you're doing a great job raising your family with your wife, so congrats on that. And yeah, absolutely. Did you have anything else you want to say to the fans before we wrap it up?
No, man. I just appreciate you having me on the show, and everybody I hope can tune in and watch us here in the playoffs. I can use all the support we can get right now. I'm not going to say a tough spot. We're just in a spot in the playoffs where we got to go out and perform, and it's intense. So got to make it happen.
For sure. I'm sure all those Rodiacs out there are going to make sure they'll be letting their voices know when they read this piece and hear your segment on TPF Live. So appreciate you taking time on this day. I know you have a lot of work to get to, but hey, man, best of luck. Go out there and do your best, and I'm sure we'll be catching up here real short soon.
All righty. Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
And that was Ben Rhodes in the hot seat, and that's our thanks to Lenny Glockner and, of course, Ben Rhodes for making that interview possible. And of course, you can keep up to date with Ben on his social media pages, as well as on here on the podium finish. So best of luck to Ben as he pursues one of the final spots into the next round of the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series playoffs. and I'm sure right now he's wanting to get it over with and make his way into the next round to go and get his second championship. And not have to answer questions from us press as well on that, because it's been a fun kind of stress, as you heard him say, but I'm sure he's more than capable to get the job done. With that, folks, it is time to go and wrap up episode 86 of TPF Live. So for Ben Rhodes, I am Rob Tiongson, saying thanks so much for joining me on the World's Fastest Hour of Racing Talk. Check out our previous podcasts on any major podcasting platforms. Nathan will be back next week, and we'll look back at what happened at Kansas and preview all the action to be at Bristol Motor Speedway. So as we always like to say, let's all go get that checkered flag. And until next time, so long, everyone.